Thank you, Alan.
Okay, so of all the mitzvahs in Ki Teitzei, I picked the most bizarre one, but it's also arguably the most interesting one, and that's obviously, as you know from the title, Eishes Yifas Tohar. And I'll start like this, given that Lenny has made Aliyah. When my sons, I was zochet to have two sons who served in the Israeli army. At no time did I say to my sons, listen, I never ever was zochet to be yotzei the mitzvah of Eishes Yifas Tohar. But you're going to the Israeli army now. If you get a chance, find a woman in captivity and have sex with her. Okay. So everybody realizes that's ridiculous. But the question is why? What does it mean that the Torah had a mitzvah or has a mitzvah that maybe it doesn't want you to fulfill? What does that mean philosophically? What does that mean halachically? That's one question I think begs out to be dealt with by us, and we will deal with it. Whether we have the answer or not, I don't know, but I have suggestions to make.
I mean,
The second question that I want to deal with is, what's the chiddush? Meaning, okay, the Torah describes a situation, and we'll see it inside in a minute, where you go to war and you see a beautiful woman, and and you can't resist her. Well, here's the big secret. Min haTorah, there's no iser d'oraisa of having relations with a Gentile woman. If you do it in public, maybe you're subject to the din of Kana and Pogimbo, and Pinchas may show up with a big spear, and kill you. But that's kind of extra halachic. Min haTorah, there's really no avera. A midrabanan, there is an avera, of course, and you could argue, as we've spoken about before, drabanan turned into daraisas. But I think it's fair to ask, what's the big deal? Okay, so you did it. What's the big deal? Okay, those are the two questions that I think are worthwhile discussing, and that's why we're going to discuss them. Let me pull it up. Here we go. Says the Torah in the beginning of this week's parsha, Ki teitzei lamilchama lo yivecha, unisano Hashem Elokecha biyadecha. Okay, you go to war, and God allows you to be victorious. On top of that, vishavisa shivyo, and you take captives. Vira'ita bashivya eshet yifat toar, and you see in captivity a beautiful woman, and it's important to note, this is subjective. There's no obviously. Oh, wait, is everybody there? Can you see this?
No, you're not seeing the screen.
Okay, I'm really sorry about that. We'll try again. Once I just realized that something seems wrong. Here we go. Where is it? I apologize. I don't see it here. What might be wrong? Anybody have any ideas? Here's the document.
Yeah.
But when I go here, it's not here. Isn't that strange?
Yeah, maybe copy
Are you in presentation mode?
I'm not sure. Okay, we'll go with the note. It's fine. Can you see this now?
It's coming up now. Yes.
Okay,
That would be better. Thank you.
Yes, we have it now.
We'll just use a different version. Okay, fine. So the first thing is, you see, Eishes Yifas Tohar. So again, the halacha is, it's obviously subjective, it's not objective. But again, you have to actually desire her. V'chashakta, the Torah is clear, you have to desire her. Then you take her for a wife. Now, that will be subject to a major machlokas harishonim, what that means. So let's leave it alone. Vahaveitail toch beitecha, you bring her home. Vigilecha et rosha, cut off her hair. Vaasita et tziparna, and force her to grow her nails, obscenely long. Vehisira et simlat shivya me'aleha, and you take off the clothes of her captivity. Apparently, in those days, when they went to war, the Gentiles would dress the women or the girls in beautiful clothing to help distract the soldiers. So she can't wear beautiful clothing. She has to sit in your house. And she cries for her mother and father for a month. After that, Tavo Ela Uve Alta, you can have relations with her. Not only that, you can have relations with her, and she becomes your wife. Last pasuk, Vahaya im lo chafatz taba. If after you have relations with her, you decide that you don't want her, Vishilach talinafsha, so then you send her off to herself. Umachar lo tim kirena bakasef. Right, you can't sell her. Why not? Lo tit amerba, you can't be mean to her in any way. You can't be cruel to her. Tachat asher inita. Right, the Torah acknowledges this is a type of inun. Taking a woman, by the way, who may actually be married already. It's not necessarily a pnuya. It's anyone who you meet. Taking her, essentially kidnapping her, taking her home. The Torah says that's a form of inun. So if in the end you're going to marry her and you're going to treat her as your wife, fine, that's good. If not, you can't get any other benefit from her. You have to set her free because you were ma'anehar. Okay, so amongst the questions that we have on the Psukim is back to Pasuk Yud Aleph, v'chashakta ba v'chlakachta l'cha li'isha. What are the possibilities in terms of what that means? V'lakachta l'cha li'isha. Anybody? Well, one possibility is you have relations with her immediately, right? You see a beautiful woman in the war, you have relations with her. That's what it means, v'lakachta l'cha li'isha.
But that's not a given by the words.
Why not?
Because Leisha doesn't require relations immediately.
Okay, good. So the other possibility is V'lakachta lecha Leisha, similar to the end of Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'hayta lecha Leisha. Right? You take her, you go through this whole month-long process of shaving her head, growing her nails, crying for her mother and her father. If after that you still desire her, then you take her for your wife. That's one possibility. The other possibility is no. You're allowed to have relations with her immediately, but only once. After that, you have to set her aside and go through all of this process. And at the end of the process, if you want to marry her and you want to have relations with her, you can. Those are the two major shitos in Rishonim. Now, the Rambam has it both as an asay and as a lo sasay. Source number two says the Rambam mitzvah Reish Chaf Aleph 2:21. He shetzivanu bidin eishes yefas toar. Anybody want to make a great and really important diuk right there? He shetzivanu bidin eishes yefas toar, as opposed to he shetzivanu b'mitzvahs eishes yefas toar. I think, not to confuse issues, but one of the answers to our first question is, which was, how could this possibly be a mitzvah satorah? How could this possibly be moral? How could this possibly be something that the Torah wants me to do? The answer is, it's not. It's not a mitzvah, it's a din. What's a din? A din is, if X, then why? Nothing more, nothing less than that. So it's possible that that's the Rambam sheet. I can't be 100% sure, but it could be that you could be medayik from the word v'hishet zivanu bidin eishes yifas tar, that it's nothing more than a din. Of course, it's a din that's counted in taryag mitzvahs. How could such a thing be? We'll come back to that later. That's the assay.
Could it be something that once it's occurred, then it starts, meaning that, oh, you did this already. Now it starts its own framework, so to speak.
You're saying you accidentally did one of the Tariq mitzvahs?
No, meaning it's not the mitzvah begins after he takes her, and then he has a requirement to do it.
Okay, so that would have to do with the point you made before. that has to do with the words v'lokachta l'chal li'isha in pasuk yud aleph, right? If v'lokachta l'chal li'isha means you can have relations with her, then the mitzvah starts immediately, or the din starts immediately. If it means, as you suggested, no, it doesn't mean that you have relations with her. It means now starts the process. Then you're 100% right. Okay,
I have the Rambam using the word bedin again in Sefer.
Right. So I didn't pull up all the cases. It's something I've noticed before. There are dinim in the Rambam and there are mitzvos in the Rambam. You'll just have to take my word for it. Sorry. Okay. Look at source number 3. There's the lo tase. Just so you'll know, mitzvos lo tase resh samach dalid. He shes shehiz hiranu. We're prohibited. Mehit amer be'eshes yifas toar. Take advantage of her in any way. Gam kein achar sheba alehal. Right. The Rambam thinks you can have relations with her immediately. Why would you be able to have relations with her immediately? Because he thinks vaital achal isha. In Pasuk Yud Bet means you're allowed to have relations. That's the din. Ritzoni ba'omri bihimehitamer shelo ya'avida v'anicha etzlo kishar ha-shifachot ha-mishamsho ke'evet. Right? You can't treat her like a shifcha. She has to be your wife. V'amor yitala lo titamer ba tachat asher initav lashon sifrei lo titamer ba why? Shelo tishtamesh ba. The isser is you are prohibited from having relations with her. Now, one of the questions we ask is what's the Chiddush HaTorah? But we could ask it a different way, which is, how could the Torah permit you to have relations with a Gentile woman? You know, what does that mean? How could that possibly be? You know, you're not allowed to have their wine, you're not allowed to have their bread, but you're allowed to have their women? It doesn't make much sense. When you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Yisurei Bia, source number 4, so the Rambam says, first of all, what's the Isser of sleeping with a Gentile woman? And the answer is not really, none. Look at Halacha Bet in Perek Yud Bet, source number 4, where my cursor is, says the Rambam, V'lo asra Torah ela derech chasnos. The Torah just prohibited you to marry a Gentile woman. Because it doesn't work. Aval haba ala kutit derech znut. If you have relations with a Gentile woman, you know, as a one-off, it's znus, it's just, you know, it's just for fun. Makino to makas mardus mi divrei sofrim. That's a gzera drabanan. The gzera drabanan is that you're not allowed to have relations with a Gentile woman for obvious reasons. Gzera shema yavo lehitchatein. Now, that's kind of a tough one, because it's impossible to marry a Gentile woman. It's not that there's a Torah prohibition. It's not chal. It's like lahavdil or not, trying to marry your mother or your sister. The kedushin are not tofsin. There's no way for you to do it. Okay, so here, you know, to strengthen the question, what's going on in Eishes Yifas Toar if the thing that the Torah is matir was already mutter min haTorah?
Why isn't it like spilling seed? You're wasting seed.
It's also the Torah.
I don't know. Meaning, oh, you're saying I found another Isser.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that an Isser d'Oraisa?
Yeah.
What's this? It's one of the low sases in the Torah. I don't know.
Yeah, we're not allowed to.
It's an issur drabanan, and it's a gzera for a whole bunch of things. I don't know. It's a good question.
Okay.
But the Rambam then says in Halacha Dal, this isn't going to answer the question, but it's a possibility at least. The Rambam mentions what I mentioned before. Kol haboel kutit bein derech chasnus bein derech znus. If you have relations with a Gentile woman, whether it's in order to marry her, whether it's just to have, you know, to have a relationship with her, in ba'ala befarhesia, if they have relations in public, literally, v'hu sheyivo le'enei asara mi Yisrael o yoter, means he literally has relations with her in front of 10 Jews or more, in paga obo, kanaim veharguhu, if kanaim attack him and kill him, hare elu mishubachin uzrizin. Now those people have done the right thing, and they are praised. V'davar ze halacha l'moshe misinaihu, ra'aya l'davar ze ma'ise Pinchas b'zimri. Right, we all remember at the very beginning of Parshas Pinchas, Zimri has relations with Kozbi, who is a Nesi Midyan, and Pinchas kills him. And Pinchas kills him because it's halacha l'moshe misinai, literally, right? They were all standing there crying, Vehema bochin pesach ol moed, right? And Pinchas says to Moshe, Moshe, it's a halacha, isn't it? And Moshe says, I don't remember such a halacha, but if you remember the halacha, you should go do it. So literally, God had told Moshe that there's a din of kanoim pogimbo, habo alas ha'aramis. If you have relations with an Aramean woman or with a Gentile woman in public, so then you can be killed. So maybe, I'll just suggest, I don't think it's really true. It can't be, I don't think. But maybe that's the chiddush according to the Rambam. Normally, if you have relations with a Gentile woman, if it's in public, you're subject to the din of kanoim pogimbo. With respect to Eishes Yafas Toar, that din is suspended. Okay, it's not so compelling, but it's at least a possibility that that's what the Rambam would think is the Chiddush HaTorah with respect to Eishes Yafas Toar. But now let's reorient our thinking. Maybe I should have put this before. Source number 5. Here's the Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara in Kiddushin obviously comes before all Rishonim and all before discussions we had, and it's an unbelievable line in the Gemara. Says the Gemara in Chaf Aleph Amud Bet Yifas Toar, the Gemara there asks about a coin in the din of Yifas Toar, and the Torah says, Lo dibra Torah ela kineged yetzahara. The din of Kanaim Pogimbo is nothing more, nothing less than a response to your Yetzahara, meaning Mutov Sheyuchlu Yisrael Tumutot Shechutot Va'al Yochlu Basar Tumutot Nevelot. Given the choice between the Jewish people eating an animal that was probably going to die anyway, but was at least shechted, so maybe it has a din of a treifa, but it's certainly not a Nevela, versus eating an animal that wasn't shechted at all, right? So the Gemara, it sounds like it's not a great thing to do the mitzvah of Eishes Yafas Toar, right? It's not a great thing to eat tumutot shchutot, which is what the Gemara compares it to. But it's much better than eating a nevela, from which we can kind of conclude that Eishes Yafas Toar is kind of a concession to our Yetzirah, right? The line Lo Dibra Torah El Keneged Yetzirah means it was a concession to the Yetzirah. Whatever we would say, Rashi says something much worse or much more shocking. Rashi right there. I'm sorry, Rashi on the pasuk, but it's part of Rashi on the Gemara. V'la kachta l'cha l'isha, says Rashi, Lo Dibra Torah El Keneged Yetzirah. Fine, that's what we saw in the Gemara. But listen to this line. She'im ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu matira, yisa'ena bi'isur. Again, Rashi says, why is the Torah matir Eishes Yafas Toar? The reason is, if the Torah wasn't matir Eishes Yafas Toar, he would do it anyway, or we would do it anyway. Therefore, the Torah allows something, presumably, that it didn't want to, and it wouldn't otherwise have been matir, because we would do it anyway. That's unbelievable, right? Would the Torah say, listen, you have to fast 25 hours on Yom Kippur, but since Mincha every year, I'm ravenously hungry, and I'm going to eat anyway. So let's matir you eating Yom Kippur afternoon, because, you know, what are you going to do? Right? This is a pretty dangerous thing to say. Right? You know, how do we apply this? When do we apply this? Do we threaten God? right? Are we in the business of saying, you have to be matter this, because if you're not matter this, we're going to do it anyway? The whole thing is really, really shocking, I think. Suggestions? Okay, we'll wait.
In the sexual realm, it's different. That's the difference.
Excuse me?
In the sexual realm, it's different. That's where Yetzer Hara completely takes over.
I hear you. Mm-hmm. Let's just say this. I hear you. I don't really want to debate it, but, you know, there are people who struggle with Hilchos Nida, right? So why don't we say, you know, we're not going to wait that long every month, because if we make you wait, you're going to have relations with her anyway. So let's just be matir stuff. You're right that in the sexual realm, you know, the Yetzer is incredibly strong. But I got to tell you, Mincha and Yom Kippur, my Yetzer is pretty strong.
As uncomfortable as the subject is, I think that it's related to his point put to war, that it's only found in the case of this part where there's a war going on, and it's coupled with it's a difficult thing to digest, but it seems to be attached to the aspect of war.
It's not so difficult to digest. Here, let's skip ahead to try to make Henry's point. Look at source number 9. Says the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, Perek Chet Halacha Aleph. This won't be the final answer, but we should acknowledge the possibility. The Rambam says, Chalutzei Tzava, right, the leaders of the army, Kisheyichnesu Bigvul Ha'akum V'yichbishum V'yishbu Mehem, when the army shows up and they conquer land and they take booty, Mutar lahen leechol nivelot utrefot ubisar chazir ukiyotzebo. They can commit isurei Torah. If they don't have kosher food, it's not mutar, you know, it's not a mitzvah. If they don't have kosher food, says the Torah, says the Rambam, they could eat nivela, and they could eat trefa, and they could eat pig. Im yirav velo matzah mayochal ela machalot elu haasurim. Right, obviously, lechatchila, you shouldn't. But if you're there, if you're in Beirut and you're hungry, and the supply lines have been cut, you can eat treif. V'chein shote yayin nesach, you can drink yayin nesach. And the Gemara just says, "Mipi Hashmuel lamdu uvatim leim kaltuv arpei chazir mukiyotze b'hen." So Henry's point is a real point. We might just be able to distinguish between soldiers during war and the rest of us at regular times. And the Rambam just says, and I think it's pretty clear, v'halacha bet, v'chein bo'el isha b'giyuta im takfo yitzro. Similarly, he's allowed to have relations with a Gentile woman if he's overcome, you know, with desire. Okay, so on some level, it's 1,000% the case that Henry's right, and it's a plain reading of the Rambam, that if we had to decide when it is that we say, you know, when can you threaten God, sort of when can Yetzer Hara take over? So the answer is during a war. And the answer is only really during a war in enemy territory. But you could do it then. And I suppose there's one of two possible explanations. One is, people need to be focused completely on the war, and anything that would distract you, you know, is prohibited. But anything that can get your focus back is permitted.
But isn't this related?
One second, this is a horrible thing to say. Let me just finish the line. So if you're distracted because there's a beautiful woman in captivity, and the way you're going to get your focus back is by having relations with her, so the Torah says, okay, this isn't perfect, but when you go to war, we'll allow you to do it. The other possibility, before I let David talk, the other possibility, and this I have some connection to because I've spoken to people who are in, you know, it's a very animalistic thing. When you're in war, you know, it's completely different than civilian life, which is sometimes why soldiers, you know, get angry when other people criticize them. You know, you're in war. War is not God didn't make the world and didn't make people to be in wars. When you're in war, morality goes out, you know, a lot of things go out the window and your animal instincts take over. Okay. Two possible explanations for the one suggestion that this is allowed in war and only in war. David.
But doesn't to amplify on Henry's point, isn't this also related to the before war? Who doesn't go to war? It's like there are different set of rules when it comes to prep for war, going to war. I would think it's all part of the same thing.
Lee, can I just...
One second, I'll just answer that. Like, it's true that there are different sets of rules. I don't know if it's the same. I'm not sure. I have to think about it. Yeah, Henry, what?
But I think this, to me, it resonates with how you started this year. It's called din other than mitzvah because maybe the whole judgment and the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at a person's action is under din rather under mitzvah. Mitzvah is a broader thing, and there's a lot more latitude and a lot of other things. Din is a very strict thing. So the person who's doing this is judged more strictly, and the parameters are different than a typical mitzvah. That, you know, there's no...
I don't know. Let's go on. Okay, so we raised at least one real possible answer to the original question, but remember we had two questions. And the second question was, what's the Chiddush HaTorah? What's the big deal? You know, so you sleep with a Gentile. You're not going to get Mafter Yonah, but man, what's so terrible about it? So here we come to a Machlokas HaRishonim, and it's something you should know. And it has to do again with how you read the Psukim. We'll do it from a Tosos because it's easy there. Source number 6. Says Tosos, Shalo Yilchatzana Memochama, Perish Bekuntras, Lavo Aleha, Mashma Mitoch Perusho, Dibimilchama Asur Lavo Aleha Kol Ikar. During the war, it is absolutely prohibited to have relations with a Gentile woman. Absolutely prohibited. Va'afilu bi'a rishona eino mutar ad la'achar kol ha'ma'asim. Says Rashi, according to Tosvos, says Rashi, you're not allowed to have relate. You misread the psukim. When it says, I'm going to go back because it'll help us, to source number 1. When it says, v'chashakta ba v'lakachta l'cha li'isha, it doesn't mean you can have relations with her during the war. It means you could start the process. And in the end, you can marry her. But that's all it means. But Tosus is going to disagree. Says Tosus, third line, Vitema. I have a big question. Im Kain, Maika Amar, what's the Gemara talking about when it says, Lo Dibra Torah Ela Keneged Yetzahara? What does it mean the Torah is only responding to Yetzahara? If it's the case that during a war it's prohibited and you can only sleep with her after the whole process, how is that a response to Yetzihara? Yetzihara says, I want to sleep with her. The halacha says, no, you can't. You have to go through this whole process. That's not Dibra Torah Keneged Yetzar. It's a strong question. Akati Ika Yetzara b'milchama u'b'beito ad yarech yomim. You're going to desire her the whole time she's in your house for that whole month. V'nir l'Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam says as follows. The din is as follows. D'bi'a rishona muteres b'milchama. Right? Having relations with her the first time, that's mutar immediately. Says Rabbeinu Tam, when you go back to the Psukim, sorry to keep doing this, but it's really important. You can have relations with her immediately during the war. That's what the Gemara means. Okay, so that's a major machlokas. Rabbeinu Tam says, you have relations with her immediately. Then after the process, you can marry her. Rashi says, no, you're never allowed to have relations with her immediately. Right? Never. That's prohibited. But you could take her home and do all the things that have to be done so that at the end of that month, you can then marry her. Okay? Now, the question... One second. Yes, Rabbi Silverberg.
Isn't there great difficulty with Rashi? Here he's in the middle of a war. He sees this woman. He's totally blown away by her. He's gone, leaving the war, taking her home for a month. I mean, what kind of army, what kind of soldiers are that? That just doesn't
So you're with Rabbeinu Tam. You agree completely with Rabbeinu Tam.
Yeah, but I mean, again, it's too hard. It's not easy to understand Rashi in such a way that, hey.
Okay, it's not easy to understand Rashi. If we had to answer for Rashi, we would all say the same thing, which is the concession to your Yetzirah is the countdown just started. You brought her home, and you know that in 30 days, you could have relations with her.
Home, you're in the middle of a war. You're in the...
Okay. I hear you. So you're a big Rabbeinu Tam fan, and you can't imagine that during a war, anybody could have any self-control, and maybe you're right. I don't know.
Rashi.
One second. But now the question is, let's just say for a second that, you know, Rashi was so great, he thinks even soldiers can have self-control. Let's also tell the truth, right? In Tzahal, nobody does this. There was recently a huge controversy when, you know, they had a candidate for the chief rabbi in the army, and they found, you know, 20 years ago, he'd written some theoretical article about whether Eishes Yifas Torah applies bizman hazeh. You know, so the left-wingers were like, how could you let this person be the chief rabbi? Okay, it was a whole issue. But Lemaisa, I would just say Rashi thinks that a concession to your Yetzahara is that you could sleep with her in a month. But now the question is, how can you sleep with her in a month? How could you sleep with her after the war? She's a Goya. How could you marry somebody who's a Gentile? So here we come to the most significant and amazing Ramban ever, or at least this week. Source number 7 says the Ramban. Vahatam b'parsha hazo. This is unbelievable. Mipnei shehi mitgayeret ba'al karcha. Says the Ramban, yes, she converts. But she converts even against her will. Meaning, all the things we know about Geirus, right? The only way you can become a Geir is via Kabbalas Ol Mitzvos and Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim and all the really good things. Says the Ramban, you're right, normally. But with respect to an Eishes Yifas Tohar, we can convert her against her will. Ve'ein sho'alin ota. There's a different conversion path for an Eishes Yifas Tohar than there is for regular Geirim. A regular Geir has to declare his desire to be a Jew and his willingness to take on the Torah. Okay? How much and how all that is subject to detail and to enormous machlokas halacha l'maisa. But bigadol, a Geir has to declare that he wants to be part of the Jewish people. Says the Ramban, she doesn't have to. Aval yomar lo ha-ba'al, she-tishmor Torat Yisrael ba'al karcha, v'ta'azov yirata. Her husband, the soldier, will require her to do it. And he'll prohibit her from being Oved Avodah Zarah. V'zeh tam, says the Ramban, you read the psukim wrong. When it says uvachita et aviha ve'etima yerech yamim, it's not literally aviha ve'ima. Rather, ki ta'azov et ama ve'et Eloheha. Says the Ramban, she's mourning for her past. She was born, you know, worshiping this particular Avodah Zarah. Right? And the Ramban on the Parsha talks about how the word ave'im is also used in the context of Avodah Zarah. And now we're taking that all away from her, against her will. So the Chiddush HaTorah for the Ramban is as simple as it is, right? The Chiddush HaTorah is we're allowed to convert an Eishes Yifas Tohar against her will. Even though normally that's not considered, that's not a possibility. In this case, it is. And so all of a sudden, the shocking part of this mitzvah isn't that you can have relations with an Eishes Yefas Tohar. It's that you can convert an Eishes Yefas Tohar against her will. Lahavdil Elef Alfe Habdalos. It's like, you know, baptizing somebody against his will. Something that is not a part of normative Judaism, but may be a part of Eishes Yefas Tohar. Now, what comes out of the Ramban is another thing. He says, Aval, Im ratzta lehitkayer b'chefetz nafsha b'beitin kam mishpat, harehu muteret miyad. Right? You find a beautiful woman in captivity, and you take her. And she says, I'm so happy you're taking me. My whole life I wanted to convert to Judaism. I just never had a chance. Says the Ramban, you don't have to wait a month. She doesn't have to cry. You don't have to cut off her hair. You don't have to grow her nails. Marry her, you know, convert her immediately and marry her. So the Ramban is introducing something into the discussion that we've overlooked, which is whatever the chiddush is of Eishes Yefas Tohar, the Torah is not really allowing you to live with a Gentile woman. The Torah is giving you a path to make that Gentile woman into a Jew. And for the Ramban, that path is even Baal Karcha. It's even against her will. You know, that's a huge, huge chiddush. Again, it exists in at least one other place in the Torah, not Halacha L'maisa anymore. But an Eved Kenani can also, L'chol Adeos, I think L'chol Adeos, be converted against his will. And he has to do mitzvos like a woman. Okay, which is very hard and a significant step in being a Jew. But again, this idea, I don't want to make too much out of it, but I think the idea of conversion, Baal Karcha, you know, is enormously significant. When we think about how conversions work today, when we think about possible fixes for people who have a Jewish father and a non-Jewish mother, for people who moved to Israel, Russians, whatever. I think it's a big deal, but I'm not sure. But anyway, that's an enormous chiddush. That you can convert her against her will is an enormous chiddush. Okay, good. Let's go on. The chinuch kind of brings all this together and says as follows. Source number 8. Umishar she'a mitzvah amru zichronam livracha. Lefi shelo hitira hatora yifatoa b'shivya ela kineged yetzer hara. The only reason Torah is matu neshis yifas Torah is because you have an overwhelming desire. Like Rashi said, because you're overcome by desire. Va'al kein, therefore, satama katuv delat lefanav lahavisha be'inav. So the Torah closes the door and says, this is the only path to getting her. V'tziva legalech rosha kedei la'abei Torah sa'arotel, right? Except for like Star Wars, no women look better bald. Okay? Right, you want our hands to be discussing, she has to grow our nails. Vishe Yirshe Otaliv Kod Chodesh Rishon Linavel Paneola Chalot Bidimot Eneha. Right, a woman who cries for a month doesn't look particularly attractive. On top of that, Gam Chieva Katov Sheteshevi Mo Beveto Baasota Kolze Bechodesh Rishon. In addition, she has to be there, sitting next to your front door. Every time you go out, every time you go out, you come in, you see her. You know, bald, crying, long neck. It's not attractive. And says the chinuch, v'hakol leham isa be'enav shehei nichnas v'yotzei nitkalba v'ra'e b'nivula. All of this is to force you to look at her when she's not at her best. V'amru mina mefarshim. So the first thing is, you want to stop the process. And how do you stop the process? You force the soldier to look at her when she's not at her best. Now,
I just have a quick question. The whole Sukkim afterwards, which Ben Sora Moro, which could be a possibility of this relationship. So if she doesn't become Jewish right away, then how is the child Jewish? And how do you get the Ben Sora Mora type of thing?
No. So Ben Sora Mora is Jewish.
Right. So
it that happens means- to be that if she becomes pregnant, if let's say Tulsus is right, and you're allowed to have relations with her immediately, if she's impregnated from that relationship, the child is not Jewish. The drasha in Chazal that Henry's referring to, the smichos aparshios of Eishes Yifastar and Ben Sor Amor, where Chazal say, you know, if you marry an Eishes Yifastar, you're going to get a Ben Sor Amor, that's in the best case scenario. None of this is great, right? You're not going to be excited if your son does this. It's a heter. It's a din. It's nothing great. Okay, let's keep going. Which is, you could have relations with her once while she's a Gentile. So says the Chinuch Krovim Divrehem. On the one hand, it sounds like that's the right shita. Why? That's what Tosu said. Aval mehem shamru. Here comes Rashi. No, she's not permitted at all until the whole process plays out. And says the way I read the psukim, I think Rashi's right. Oh, okay, it would upset Rabbi Silverberg because he thinks Tosis is right. But that's where we are. The noheget mitzvah zo bizman she Yisrael al admatan, ki az haya lahen reshut v'yecholet biyadam lehilachem. Right? If the Jews have an army and they have the ability to go to war, this halacha would apply. Okay, so it sounds like, you know, at least in theory, bizman hazeh, that would apply. Now, you could argue and say, no, this is not Zman She Yisrael Alad Matan. Maybe because most Jews don't live. I think most Jews do live in Israel at this point. But frankly, nobody knows what we're up to in terms of Yovel, and no one wants Shmi to be Del Reisa. I think there's a big conspiracy amongst halachic experts to not acknowledge the obvious, which is most Jews nowadays do live in Israel. And certainly, if it didn't happen when we moved here, I think statistically, Lenny just, you know, changed everything now that he came on Aliyah. But who knows? Okay, that's the argument here. Now, let's look at something interesting before we come back to the other question. Let's go to the Rambam. So we saw already, Perek Chet Alach Aleph of Hilchos Malachim in source number 9, that's where the Rambam deals with Eishes Yifastar, and he talked already about in the army being mutter to commit or to violate certain Isurei Torah, if you're hungry, etc. Now the Rambam says in Halacha Bet, V'chein bo'el isha begiyuta in takfo yitzro. You can have relations with her if your yitzar really overwhelmed you. Aval lo yivla ena v'yelech lo. You can't have relations with her and just leave her there. Ela machnisa l'toch beito, shenem avareita b'ashivya eshet yifatoar, v'asur livol ota b'yashniya ad shisa ena. Right? You can't have relations with her again until you marry her. How does it work? Says the Rambam in Halacha, V'ketzad din Yisrael b'yifatoar. How does it work? So he says, Achar she'yivalena b'yarishona v'hi b'giyuta. You have relations with her during the war while she's a Gentiless. Im kibla aleli kanez tachat kanfei hashchina matbila l'shem gerut miyad. If she says, I want to be a Jew, I want to be your wife, you can put her in the mikveh immediately and be megayer her immediately. Ve'im lo kibla. Now listen to this. Teishev beveito 30 yom. She has to sit in your house for 30 days. Shnema avachtat aviyavati ma'yach yamim. Ve'chein bocha al data ve'eno mona. She cries over our religion, and you don't stop her. Umegadela tziparna. She grows her nails. Umegalacha that rosha kidei shetitka ena be'enav. As we've seen already, to make her disgusting. Every time you go in and out, you have to see her. So that you become disgusted with her. And you continue this process so that she'll want to become Jewish. Says the Rambam, unlike the Ramban, it's like any ger. if she wants to do it, as soon as she's ready, you're megayer her and she becomes Jewish. But here's the Rambam. Halacha zayin, lo ratzta lehit gayer. If she refuses to convert, migal gilin ima shnei masar chodesh, you can keep her for 12 months, but then it's the end. Lo ratzta, if she doesn't want to convert, mikabelet sheva mitzvot shenitztavu b'nei noach, umishalcha lenafsha, says the Rambam. She obviously has to accept the Zayin Mitzvot b'nei noach. The Rambam thinks that anybody who doesn't accept the Zayin Mitzvot b'nei noach is subject to death anyway. So she accepts the Zayin Mitzvot b'nei noach. She becomes a ger toshav, but then you have to let her go. Vaharehi kechol hagerim hatoshavim. She's like any ger toshav. Ve'eino nosa she'osur lisa isha shalo nitgayra. Says the Rambam, even if it's only drabanan, it's usur to marry a Gentile woman. Okay? So the Rambam completely disagrees with the Ramban. Or said the other way, the Ramban completely disagrees with the Rambam because he came after him. The Rambam doesn't have this idea of geirus bal karcha. To become a Jew, the Rambam thinks you have to want to become a Jew and you have to willingly accept God and his Torah. The Ramban, again, as we've seen, shockingly thinks, no, that's the general rule. But with respect to an Eishes Yefas Tohar, there is a path to Judaism that doesn't involve willing acceptance of Torah, but involves forcing her to do it. And because the husband owns the wife in this case, so long as he treats her well, he can make sure that she never violates the Torah. I don't know how he makes sure. He's always home. She's not going to ever eat basar b'chalav. I don't know. But that's an enormous machlokas. Whether there is such a thing as geiris bal karcha or not, the Ramban says there is. The Rambam says there is not. Okay, now, last thing. Let's go back to the original philosophic question we asked, which is, how could there be a mitzvah that the Torah does not want you to fulfill? So let's talk about, the one answer, which we already discussed, was Henry's suggestion that soldiers in war, they have a special rule. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. But let's come to a different idea. Normally, when we think of Taryag Mitzvos, we think of at least two categories. Absolute unconditional mitzvos. I have to hear a shofar on Rosh Hashanah, come what may. I have to sit in a sukkah and take a lulav on sukkahs, come what may. I have to eat matzah on Pesach, come what may. But there's another category of mitzvos. I only have to put a mezuzah if I have a house. This week's parsha, I only have to build a makkah, I only have to build a fence around a porch if I have a porch that's substantially above ground level, that if somebody fell off it, they'd get hurt. Right? I only have to build a porch or build a fence around a swimming pool if I have a swimming pool. Nobody thinks, and I never thought once, I have to buy a house that has a makkah so I could do the mitzvah of makkah. Right? We're familiar with these categories. So let's become familiar with another category, which I don't think we focus on enough. And that it's not that it's conditional. It's that it's bidi'evet. Let's take an example. There is a mitzvah of gerushin. There's a mitzvah of divorcing your wife. Does the Torah want me to divorce my wife? I don't think so. I very much hope I'll never be mekayim that mitzvah. What makes it a mitzvah? What makes it a mitzvah is I can change my status by following a procedure laid out in the Torah. That's what the Rambam means by a din. Today I'm married. If I want to get rid of my wife, I write a get. Tomorrow I give her a get. And the chiddush haTorah, the din of the Torah, is that giving her a get makes me no longer married. That's a chiddush. Another mitzvah in this week's parsha, Shiluach HaKan. Right? I think it's one of the most misunderstood mitzvahs ever. Why is it the most favorite mitzvah ever? Because it says V'arachta Yamim, right? You'll live a long life. Let me just point out the following. Rashi says V'arachta Yamim, it's a kal v'chomer. If for a mitzvah kala like Shiluach HaKan, you'll get Arichas Yamim at Alachas Kama v'Kama for more difficult mitzvahs. But Klal Yisrael has chosen to misunderstand the mitzvah. And people think, you know, if you find somebody and you find a mother bird, if you send it away and you leave the eggs unattended, you got some kind of mitzvah satorah. I think you did not. I think you're over a lo saseh. I think it's a lav anitak laseh. The Torah doesn't want you to do it. The Torah says if you're really, really hungry and you want to eat the eggs, send away the mother bird first because it will be mean. But the Torah doesn't want you to be mekayim the mitzvah. The Torah, I don't think, wants you to be mekayim the mitzvah of chalitza. The Torah wants you to do yibum. Okay, it's true. Bizman Azeh, we all do chalitza. But that's just Bizman Azeh. That's because the state of Israel, whatever, there's problems with polygamy. It's a real problem. I agree. But in theory, not. Eved Ivri. Does the Torah believe in slavery? No. I think Amma HaIvriya. No, I think the Torah says, if you live in a society where everybody's going to have a slave, here's the limits on how you can have a slave. Eved Kenani, same thing. Tuma and Tara. The Rambam counts, you know, Shmona Shratzim as a mitzvah. The Torah wants you to touch the Shmona Shratzim? The Torah wants you to become Tameh? No. The halacha is, the din is, if a Tahar person touches a Sheretz, he's going to become Tameh. That's the din HaTorah, which makes it into Tarag Mitzvahs. Said another way. This is a Rav Soloveitchik point. It's in writing in a number of places, but it's really very fascinating. Rav Soloveitchik said, the core difference between Christianity and Judaism is as follows. Christians aspire to get to heaven and to live in heaven. Jews aspire to live in this world, but they want to live in a world in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present. How do they live in a world in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present? By bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu down to us. How do we do that? By way of halacha. But halacha exists, you know, in all the bad things in humanity, not all the good things. Halacha doesn't exist in an ivory tower. It's not pure. It's in all the human relationships. It's in all the bad things about being human. It's in sex, and it's in all the things, you know, that in a perfect world maybe wouldn't exist. I don't know exactly. This is an example of that. Eishes Yefastar is as human as it gets. You know, in the Medrash about Moshe going to Shemayim to get the Torah, and the Malachim saying, like, why would you give him the Torah? Moshe doesn't argue that I'm better than the Malachim. I deserve the Torah that way. Moshe says we're worse. We're human beings. But Lo Tirtzach is written for human beings. And Lo Tinaf and Lo Tachmod, they're written for human beings, not for Malachim. And that's the Chiddush. And that's why we have this halacha. This halacha is, you know, in a way, the perfect example of the fact that Torah is not some perfect system and halacha is not some perfect system for Malachim, right? Halacha and Torah were written and were given to human beings who are fundamentally flawed, human beings like me and you who are fundamentally flawed. But the Torah works for us. And maybe the greatest example of that is Eishes Yefas Tohar. You know, maybe it's an embarrassing halacha. Maybe if you had the choice to teach halacha to Gentiles, you know, you would skip Eishes Yefas Tohar, the first halacha in the Parsha. Maybe you'd skip the last halacha in the Parsha, which is wiping out Amalek. But they're real. And they're functions of who we are as human beings. Okay? So then, what do we see today? We saw two things. One, the chiddush that there are mitzvahs in the Torah that perhaps the Torah doesn't want us to be mekayim. They're bidi'eved, but they work. And they work, and they make the Torah work for us. Therefore, we have these mitzvahs. And two, what's the chiddush? The huge chiddush probably is the Ramban, that there is a path to conversion. There is geiris bal karcha. There is such a thing that she doesn't want it, but we do it anyway. Some form or another of that, you know, is the takeaway from today. Obviously, there's a machlokes harishonim, whether the eishes yefas tohar, you can have relations with her immediately or you have to wait. That's the machlokes Rashi and Tosos. Those are the main points. Have a great week, everybody. Yashikach, and I'll see you next Friday.
Good Shabbos. Thank you.